Margaret, how did you first happen to hear about it?
My son went to a Quaker school, and he had a friend named Dean.
Dean.
My son's name is David, and David and Dean were chums. They were school friends, and David had a slumber party, and he invited Dean to come. And so Dean's mother, who later became my best friend, was always having a problem with being late. So she was the last mother to come to pick up her son. And that worked out well because the two boys were playing together and enjoying each other. And when Carol came in and sat down with me, it was like seeing an old friend. It was like somebody had known. We began talking, and yet you know how children are. They interrupt. I think these boys were 10. And so we didn't really get to finish our conversation. And each time I would see her after that, it would be like I wanted to see more of her. But the boys were always asking us, will you take me here? Will you take me there? So fairly soon after meeting her, I ended up moving into the same town that she lived in. And I just said to her one day, I said, we're just going to have dinner together or something and get away from these boys because we won't ever have a chance to talk to each other otherwise. And so we went to dinner, and after the meal, she asked me to come back to her house, which I did, and she played the piano for me. She's Carol Gunn now. She was Carol Golden then. And she played the piano. She'd written a song to Bob. It's called Open Up Your Heart to Mayhem. And I don't remember now whether she sang that song or whether she just played the music. But it was just, I remember being in that room with her, and it was just real special. And she'd also written a song to somebody that she called it Jenny's song, and I don't remember who Jenny was. And we were both involved at that point in a kind of peer counseling where you counsel each other if you're having a problem and if there's a certain way that you do it. And she invited me to come into her bed sitting room. So I went in there, and she had a rug on the floor and a couch, and we sat down on the floor together, and she began telling me some things that were happening to her that were bothering her, and I did the same with her. And afterwards, I remember saying to her, it just feels so nice in this room. And she said, we just smiled or something like that. I don't remember if she said anything. And I got up, and I just kind of wandered around. It felt comfortable there, and I'm not a person who just naturally feels comfortable wherever I go. It just felt real comfortable in that room. And I wandered around. I don't remember seeing a picture of Bob in the room, but his sodder was in the room inside of a box. And evidently that sodder was being passed around in the chapel.
What was inside the box?
It was in a box, in a plastic box.
The sodder.
Was in a plastic box. I guess it was being passed around from person to person in the Chapel Hill group.
Mm.
And she just happened to have it at that point in time. And she had been living in Atlanta before that, and she had a picture of the Atlanta group in the room. And I saw a person in the picture, and I said, I think I know him. And who is that? She said, his name is Charles Haynes. And I said, I don't know that name. And then later I said something to her about, she told me that the sodder belonged to Mayor Baba, and I asked her who that was, and I don't remember now what she said to me. I don't remember if she said, he's the avatar. I don't remember what she said to me, but I said, well, I would like to know more. Do you have anything that I could read? And she gave me the avatar, the book called The Avatar.
Yeah.
And I read part of that book, I think maybe half of that book, and this was like May or June of 1981. By September, when she said she was going to the Southeast Gathering, I told her that I would like to go to the Southeast Gathering. But it was full, and it didn't look like I was going to get to go, so they put me on a waiting list. And Shelley Marich, I think, is the person that called me and said that there would be space, and I could come. So sort of it just fell into place at the last minute.
Shelley, the one who is here?
Yeah. I saw her on the bus the other day, and that's the first time I've seen her since I went to the Southeast Camp. And before long, Carol needed a place to live, and I had a room, so she ended up moving into my house, and it just went from there. So she was very important to me.
Mm.
And still is.
It's interesting, Erich, how Bala kind of got us together so we could come here together. Maggie was living in South Carolina, near Myrtle Beach, and I had moved to Maryland, And one day, this was just, I took a temporary job, it was only for a couple of months, and I was working in this herb shop that a bottle of herbs, and I was selling herbs outside. It's Smile Herb Shop, Tom Wolf. He hasn't been here yet.
Which place is that?
It's called Smile Herb Shop.
Maryland.
College Park. Maryland.
Yeah.
So like I said, I was living there for a couple of months, just for a few hours on Saturday. And all of a sudden, Maggie and her husband come walking up out of nowhere. She's living in South Carolina. And we start talking, because I knew her down there. And I guess I mentioned, or one of us mentioned we wanted to go to India, and we immediately just said, hey, well, you know, because I knew I would never go if I was going to come by myself. You know, I was going to be, I wanted to come, I didn't know when. I was, you know, well, I'm going to go, but it just wasn't happening. And then it's like, I just feel like Baba just, you know, it's just such a coincidence. It was really good.
Donna, what are you thinking?
Oh, I shouldn't look at you with my car.
And Steve, how did you come? This is your first visit?
Second. I was here 10 years ago. I was in college, and I was experiencing a lot of alienation, loneliness. I was starting to try to look at a few of the religions that were going around. Like the Krishna people were there, Buddhists. It was becoming it's like wildfire on the campuses, all different things. Back in 1970-71. And somebody mentioned Meher Baba to me. The name stuck, you know, it was a powerful one, but I pushed it away. And then there used to be this fellow singing on campus very loudly and in a very off-key manner. But the songs he was singing and the feeling behind it was attracting me. I always think it was like it was a real drawing thing. That person was Ira Shader. I just was drawn to him, and I became friendly with him. He used to talk. I gradually would become friendly with him, and he used to say, Baba said this and Baba said that, and I said, I don't want to hear, you know. I mean, at times I say, you know, it's enough, I would think. And he was looking to just to, we all have to go to lunch, but to make it in the gist, he was looking for a spiritual family, spiritual. A communal situation, something he also was feeling alienated in the world. And I was getting very fed up with college because it wasn't fulfilling what I needed. And I decided to quit school. He came over to my house and shared these feelings with me about wanting to be in a group. And he said, I'd like to travel around the country. I had a car. So we left. We traveled for several years, actually. Not all at once, but... And gradually, you know, he would give me... It was the discourses that I really started to think that this man knew something. So I was drawn in more like that. After maybe half a year or so, I started to come to mind. That's basically the story.
Where is he now, by the way?
Staten Island.
Who?
Staten Island.
And Susan?
Berkeley. Berkeley.
Berkeley.
Yeah. I haven't seen her, although I might see her in a couple months. I haven't seen her in 5, 6, 7 years.
Tell her we remember her. If you happen to see her.
I'll speak to her, yeah.
I know also.
The twins.
Such an arty this morning. It's all the drums and tambourines and singing. It went on and on. We didn't even want to eat breakfast. They had to shoo us out.
I'd ask them to sing in here.
Huh?
I'd ask them to sing in here this afternoon.
Good, we can hear them.
But you can't see their gestures, they do in unison.
Very cute.
We have seen them for years too.
Years and years.
Yeah.